into teams of warriors, gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Golden Point. We're back after our Origin special from last week. We're going to kick things off with the round recap. So first game was the Friday 6 o'clock game, Storm versus the Knights, Storm coming away with a 40-12 win. In this we saw Cam Smith not play, so the Storm were dominant without him. Slater showed why he should have been picked for Origin, he was outstanding. And Jesse Brumwich returned from suspension after the cocaine incidents.
Yeah, I didn't see too much of this game, but yeah, fantastic effort from a couple of the guys backing up from Origin, Chambers and Kronk. So they played quite well. It's good to see Nathan Ross back into first grade as well after being dropped a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. But yeah, big win by the Storm. I thought the Knights might put a little bit of a fight on here just because of the fact that it was only 2 days after Origin. But I guess, you know, Kronk and Chambers showed why they're professionals.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I felt like the Knights had an opportunity here to try to say we're not that team that's going to come last every year, but they didn't really take it. Slater was pretty much unstoppable, I thought, and just Kronk just knows how to steer a team around. You know, I think he showed that he's really that leader, and the Storm, they're going to miss him so much next year.
Yeah, I think they'll miss him. And yeah, growth from Slater. I mean, it's going to be hard to leave him out of Origin 2 now, especially. I mean, he played before this, he was playing fantastically. And he's just continued it on. So I don't know how they're possibly going to leave him out of that team if they do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll move on to the second Friday game, the Eels and the Warriors. Eels winning this one 32-24. It was a scrappy but pretty exciting game, in my opinion. I think I saw on Twitter a lot of Warriors fans were pretty frustrated afterwards and like felt they should have won that. They let a few chances go by and they gave a few easy tries throughout the game. And the Parramatta injury crisis, it's really continued. I think they finished with one player on the bench at the end of that one. And it's growing and growing and growing. So you got to feel for them. I think they're going to be in a bit of trouble for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it's a good win for the Eels. I enjoyed it as well. I thought there were some good battles there. I thought Radra played really well. RTS had some moments of brilliance in there. He scored a try late in the game, which was just sensational.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was exactly the reason they brought him across the ditch 2 years ago. Is this his first year or his last year?
He was injured last year.
And Gutherson was fantastic as well.
Yeah.
Really made up for the lack of a halves partner, which Mitchell Moses was. He's not playing well, is he?
He's bad, yeah. Like, defensively and in attack. He is just scrappy.
Yeah, I thought Tepe Moroa looked really good as well.
Yeah.
I think he's had a fairly quiet year. Last year, he sort of really stood up, I thought, and I expected really big things. I expected him to really sort of steamroll and become a big thing. But then he went cold for a little while. So it was good to see him have a really solid game. I think he got a try. Which is good from him. Great win for the Eels.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Gunson that when Corey Norman comes back, he's going to be the one that will be pushed out of the half pairing.
Potentially. I mean, you'd have to assume so, but at the same time, if Mitchell Moses keeps playing as poorly as he is, how can you drop Gutherson from the halves?
I think Gutherson's been probably their best player all season.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Norman was obviously been fantastic before the injury, but yeah, he said after the game, I don't care what numbers my back.
Yeah.
I just want to play first grade, which is like, it's a fantastic thing to hear from a guy. And I don't know. I think he's a great 5'8", personally.
I think he's a very good 5'8", but his versatility is probably the best part about his game as well. He can really play anywhere from 1-7, which is good. And yeah, I don't know where they'll put him. There's definitely opportunities in the back line for him to be there. Tackering, he can always move back to the second row and stuff. But potentially, they might look at putting Gutherson at fullback as well. I'm not sure how he's defensively, but if they want him to have the ball in his hands a little bit more, that could be an opportunity. But yeah, he'll still be in the team.
Yeah, no, I hope so. All right, we'll move to the first Saturday game. Dragons-Tigers. Close one, 16-12 to the Dragons. And we saw Widdop return from injury. His first game back, scoring 12 of the 16 points for the Dragons, which is very impressive. Tyson Brazel was hospitalised after the game, copped a bit of a shot to the ribs, and apparently just precautionary, but still. pretty frightening, I guess.
Yeah.
And Lollahia, playing his first game for the Tigers.
Yeah, a better second half than first half, I thought. Obviously, depending on who you ask, the Dragons fans would much prefer the first half. But as a rugby league game, I thought it really took a step up in the second half with the Tigers having a bit of a fight back there. Whittle was amazing.
Mm.
He showed what he brings to that team. He's the heart and soul of that team. There's no doubt about it. He really excels when he's the main leader of a team. When the team kind of rests on his shoulders, it seems. I thought the battle between Tedesco and Dugan was fantastic. A couple of try-saving tackles on each of them having a try-saving tackle on the other, which was just great to see. There was one late Dugan made on Tedesco, which was in the end game-changing, because if he hadn't have made it, Tedesco would have run away and I think leveled the game up. So that was great to see. Tedesco did very well to back up, as did Dugan. I think there was another player, one or two more players. Oh, of course, Frizzell backing up as well. That's definitely a worry for New South Wales. Hopefully it is just precautionary.
I haven't heard anything more about it.
Maybe he'll have a week on the sidelines and then come back for the Blues, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was a really, really good, fun game to watch too.
Definitely, yeah. I really enjoyed seeing Lola here back in first grade. I think he's been a bit hard done by with the Warriors for the past three seasons, so...
And I think, he'll have the chance to shape that position and make it his own at the Tigers, where at the Warriors, it was always week in, week out, will he be picked, won't he be picked, which shouldn't be the case for someone with that much talent.
Yeah, I read he was saying that he played all of his junior football at fullback or 5'8".
Yeah.
And for some reason, the Warrior administration just really felt like he was an outside back, like a 3 or 5 sort of thing. So it's a bit weird, but... great to see him in first grade. I think he's going to do wonders for the Tigers. Probably not save their season or anything like that, but I think losing Moses and getting Lola here isn't that bad a trade.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the Tigers definitely won in that situation. Great to see the Dragons cementing their spot in the top four as well.
Absolutely.
I think for weeks on now, we've all kind of been expecting them to drop it out just because of how they played last season, but no, they're proper contenders.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it now.
And they did a good job of surviving that period without Whittup as well. So with him back, I think they can go on and do wonderful things. So the next Saturday game, Roosters Broncos, bit of a fight back in this one. We saw the Roosters winning 18-16. So both Milford and Pierce missed the games because of concussion that they succumbed to during Origin. Boyd Cordner scored a double and looked absolutely fantastic. And Benji Marshall turned back the clock a bit. He went back to his golden boot sort of style of play and had a great game.
Yeah, for game of the round for me, this one, really enjoyed it. As you mentioned, Benji Marshall, I thought, he really turned it on. It was definitely played his best game in probably the last couple of seasons. Unlucky not to be able to get the result in the end for the Broncos, but the Roosters, they played well. They scored some good tries, I thought. Their outside backs were good. Joseph Manu, I thought, had a really good game. He's coming on leaps and bounds and just seems that each game he gets better and better. Michael Gordon, very, very safe there and has been a great fullback for the Roosters this season. I'm trying to think of any particular standouts. I don't know if there was any player that kind of stood above the rest. As you mentioned, Cordner played really well. And he played well, but I don't think there was any particular standouts. I just think across the board it was a good performance from both teams, really.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame that Pierce and Milford weren't there, because I think these are two teams that are kind of powerhouses this season. So it took away from that a little bit, but still a great game.
Yeah, I don't think it was noticeable, though. I thought the quality was still there, and I still think this was it felt like a top four match.
Yeah, absolutely. SKD, is he still on, suspension or a no-man's land sort of thing after the cocaine stuff?
Yeah, I've forgotten about that, because I think he got stood down. I don't think he got any suspension, did he? I think he just got stood down.
It's weird, because they came out and said, he definitely didn't take anything, he's done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And then they brought him back in, which is weird. I only just thought about that then.
So. Yeah, I honestly didn't even realise. I mean, I guess they don't need to, because they've got Latrell Mitchell and Joseph Manu playing good football, so why would they bring back on the wing? But again, they got Tupou and Ferguson, who... Yeah, done well as well.
Tupou got injured in this one, though, so not sure how long he'll be out for, but we'll see.
It's a shame, because he's actually had a really good season.
Yeah, he's bounced back, definitely, from a couple of quiet ones, really.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to the final side of the game, the Cowboys and the Titans. Cowboys winning this one fairly easily, 20-8. So we had Michael Morgan continue his fantastic form. I think he's been great for them while Thurston's been out. The Cowboys finished the game with 62% of possession, which, no surprise, they won. And the hang plan really went missing. He didn't play the entire game. He went off for a bit, but I think he needs to stand up and do a bit more for their team, like the Titans. Yeah. For a guy with that much experience and that much, ability, he needs to come and not go missing in these sort of games.
Yeah, and I don't think centre is where he's going to do that. I still don't think he's a centre. As much as I like Tyrone Roberts at fullback, and you could argue that he's definitely played better fullback this year than Hayne. I don't think Hayne, with the talent that he has, is able to perform at his peak when he's playing in the centres. So I'm not sure what the answer is there. Who knows? Because it's hard to drop Tyrone Roberts. I mean, Tyrone Roberts hasn't been great the last couple of weeks, but he's had a very good season. It's hard to leave him out. But maybe he needs to drop back to the bench and play as an impact player and then move Hayne fullback and switch him around a little bit.
Yeah,
I only saw this game in patches, but I was pretty disappointed the Titans didn't put up a little bit more of a fight in this one. They've had a pretty good last couple of months. But like you mentioned, Michael Morgan, he's been fantastic since Thurston's been out. He's really, in the same way that I said about Widdop, he's really sort of taken the team upon himself and he is thriving in that situation. So I think that's a very positive sign moving forward for the Cowboys fans. You know, Thurston's not going to be around forever.
definitely. I think he, I don't know, he's just one of those guys that, for the past 2 years, has sort of felt, he's, Thurston's little follower. He's the guy that, is always just going to do well when Thurston's in the team. Yeah. But he's been able to show that he can control a team himself and he can be that main playmaker.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Tamalolo as well. He's running 220-odd metres. So, it's not an unusual thing for him anymore, but it's pretty outstanding.
That's the sad thing. You see it on the sideline. Oh, good, okay. If he gets under 200, you bring it up. Yeah, okay, we'll move to the first Sunday game. Raiders-Seagulls, this one going to Golden Point. Seagulls winning 21-20. So the Raiders were able to fight back, and after the siren had gone, Jared Croker kicked a penalty goal to tie it up. Cherry Evans then went on and kicked the game-winning field goal. We also saw Rapana run a huge 254 metres, which was pretty amazing in itself.
Yeah, Rapana's great, isn't he? He's easily one of the best wingers in the game, one of the best backs in the game. He's a try-scoring machine, he's a running machine, a meter eater. But yeah, another good game, another close one. I think this was obviously the tightest one of the round. I thought DCE played really well. He really sort of stood up and led Manly around. It's funny now, it's weird. It's, DCE, he's a very good player, obviously. He's on big, big money, but that's the thing that has to be brought up every time he plays a game. It's not, okay, he played a good game, that makes sense because he's a good player. It's, oh, look, there's your $10 million man.
Yeah.
Finally earning his money. Like, he's definitely worth that money. He's one of the best halves in the game. Manly still, I think there's still a chance this year. I mean, they've been in the top eight for a while now, but I still think people think they're not all there yet.
I didn't actually realise they're on the top eight, to be honest, so yeah.
But look, I still think they're actual contenders this year. I think they've got some players that have been really standing out for them. You know, we said Uarte, we've said that a few times on the podcast, he's been in the wilderness the last couple of years, and this season he's just been fantastic. He scored a few hat-tricks this year. Obviously, I mentioned DCE. Abby Corrissau has been playing well. Martin Tapau, on his day, plays quite well as well. So across the board, I think they've got players.
Dylan Walker as well has quietly been having his best season.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for last year with the whole Origin stuff, I think people would appreciate that a lot more.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. Also, the Trevoivik brothers as well. Tom out at the moment, Jake, always stand out. So across the board, they got fantastic players. There's no reason why they can't contend the title this year.
Absolutely. All right, we'll move to the final game of the round. Panthers-Bulldogs. Panthers winning this one with a record win of 38-0, their biggest win ever over the Bulldogs. So it was the new look Panthers, which is all the talk, with Matt Moylan moving to 5'8" and Dylan Edwards coming in at fullback, and Mitch Rain filling in at hooker for the injured Peter Wallace. We saw Craig Garvey get Simbin for, I guess, what you could call a punch, but I'm not too sure. The referee definitely saw it that way. And Matt Saul returned from injury, and he was absolutely fantastic, and I think really helped the Panthers with this win.
Yeah, if that's Garvey's attempt at a punch, then I hope he doesn't have sights on a boxing career, because he's not going to make it far. That was a pretty weak effort. No, that kind of highlights what rugby league's become, doesn't it? It's quite soft these days in terms of the old biffo. What can be said, really? A fantastic display by the Panthers. They just absolutely dominated the Bulldogs. I personally didn't really see this game going any other way. The Bulldogs are dismal. They're just terrible at the moment. They're in shambles. I think in-house there's big issues. There's issues with Dez, issues with the playing group. I think the list of problems are endless. We've said it, we've listed them. Experts have listed them. Every fan critic on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot has listed them. So there's only so much you can say about the Bulldogs. Unless there's some big team changes in the future, I don't see anything changing. It's probably worth saying that they were down Graham, Reynolds and Morris. So three of their biggest players. So that doesn't help, but it's also not an excuse. The Panthers were fantastic, though, and I thought Moylan had a really good game at 5-8. It's probably about time. They played Cartwright there for way too long. And Dylan Edwards looks good at the back, so it's kind of a happy situation for everyone, I think.
Yeah, I think Dylan Edwards made the decision a lot easier on Griffin because he has been absolutely killing it in the New South Wales Cup.
Yeah.
I feel a bit sorry for Tamari Martin not being, it's apparently not the first, second, or maybe the third choice 5-8 now, but I don't know, they don't seem to like him too much at the foot of the mountains, but I was really happy with the way the game turned out, obviously, as a Panthers fan, but just, I think the change that were made was something that a lot of Panthers fans have been calling for a lot of the season. Moylan is just a natural 5-8, and I think he played really well. Time will tell, obviously this game being a bit of a blowout, momentum was going his way and all that sort of stuff, the forward pack's dominating, so it makes it easier on him. In a tougher game, we might see a different side, but I think it's good. I think he and Cleary seem to team up pretty well as well. So,
yeah, I'm not sure that he's a 5-8 just yet. I think he's still got a lot to learn for that position, but I think, like you said, momentum really helped him today, but there's some facets of this game that I think he definitely still needs to improve on. King game one for sure, but I think early in the game as well, they looked cluttered, they looked confused, so he's got to kind of work on, I guess, team organisation.
Yeah,
but absolutely. But look, great first game with the number 6 on your back. You can't ask for much more than that, can you? 38-0.
I say Yo as well, and a lot I want to point out, just absolutely fantastic all this season as well. Not just this game, but he really stands up. He's a quiet achiever, but he runs hard and he tries hard.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And Mitch Rain, first game for the Panthers.
Ever. A double.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, back in first grade, he did look out of place. That's for sure. He had a couple of wayward passes at the start, and I sort of shook my head and thought, oh no, but I was really impressed. I didn't see much of him when he was playing for the Dragons, so I wasn't sure what to see. I thought he'd fill in very well.
Yeah.
There's talk that Wallace would be good to go next week, but I don't know, maybe they'll give him another week on the sideline to heal up.
Yeah, could do that.
All right, that is the roundup done. We're going to move on to trivia. So this week, I'll let JC explain. He does better at that.
All right, well, I've got 5 questions for Mac. He has 60 seconds to answer as many of those questions correctly as he likes. He gets as many goes at the questions as he likes. I'm going to get the clock going. There's one of these that I'm just going to have a quick read over here because I know I wrote it out in a very confusing fashion. So I'm just going to read it before I try and start verbalizing it.
That sounds good for me.
That's all right. Okay, I think I've got it. I've done this a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to stop the clock when I'm reading the question out because it's a little bit convoluted.
Okay.
All right, but you guys at home don't need to worry about that. All right. 3, 2, 1. Name 3 teams that have had a bye.
The Panthers, the Sharks, and the Storm.
Correct. Only 2 teams are on a unique set of points. So in the ladder...
Yep.
There's only... Yep. Who are they?
The Raiders and the Knights.
Incorrect. Which club has scored the least amount of tries?
The Knights.
Correct. How many games in round 13 finished with less than 6 points separating the teams?
Ooh, I'm going to say 1.
Incorrect. How many of the home sides won in round 13?
3.
Incorrect. Which 2 teams are on a unique...
The Knights and the Tigers.
Incorrect. Which club has scored the least amount of tries?
The Bulldogs.
Incorrect. How many games in round 13 finished less than 6 points separating the teams?
2.
Incorrect. How many of the home sides won in round 13?
4.
Incorrect. Unique points? Knights are 1, yes.
Okay, Knights and the Panthers.
Incorrect. Which club has scored the least amount of tries?
The... Tigers?
Correct. How many games in round 13 finished with less than 6 points? That is time.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, let me go through them. Name 3 teams that have had a bye. You said Storm, Sharks, and someone else. You got it right. There's a million more. Only two teams are on a unique number of points. It is the Knights on 6 and the Eels on 14.
Okay.
Which club has scored the least amount of tries? You correctly guessed the Tigers. I believe it's 26.
Wow.
How many games in round 13 finished with less than 6 points separating teams? It was 3. I think there was a 4 point, 2 point, and a 1 point. How many of the home sides of round one in round 13 out of 7? It was 6.
Wow. Yeah,
the really? Only ones losing the Bulldogs and losing convincingly.
Huh. There you go.
2 out of 3.
Yeah. What?
You got 2 out of 3.
I got 2 out of 3.
No, 2 out of 5. That sounds much better for you.
Yeah, okay. No, definitely. Okay, cool. That is trivia done. 2 out of 5. I don't really want to repeat that again, but I seem to every fortnight. All right, we'll move on.
Just been happy with 2 out of 3 then.
All right. We'll move on to in the news. All right, so the first one is something that seemed to blow social media up, which is David Clemmer apparently asking for a release. The Bulldogs have come out and denied that. What are your thoughts on this one, JC?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's anything to it, really. I think it's just a media storm. I don't think any reputable sources have actually said it's true.
Okay.
So I don't see it. Yeah, you know, there's probably some behind-the-scenes stuff Clemmer might be unhappy, but yeah, I think it would be pretty unlikely for that to happen.
I feel like whenever a club loses a few games, the media starts to look for things.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was amazing how this one built up, because I saw a snippet on Facebook about it, and then it just seemed like every single Facebook page, every single news outlet was just reporting it as fact. It was no longer a rumor, it was true. It's just that
copy-pasting the story. It's not that they actually have any news themselves. They just, it's being reported.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Although something that Rugby League has taught me is a team coming out and denying a rumor is generally never true. Like, you know, I mean, like, it's mixing and matching, but they're never going to come out and be like, oh yeah, he did. We'll see what happens. You know, they're going to be like, as far as we know, hasn't happened yet, or we're denying that at this stage.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me is they actually haven't put out a proper press release regarding it or anything like that. Not that they need to, because rumours can start anywhere, and if they did that for every rumour, they'd be putting press releases out every day. But I don't think there's too much to it. I've seen a few journalists now say that it's just a storm in a teacup. There's actually nothing. Clemmer's a little bit unhappy, but it'll be resolved this week.
Okay, that's good. All right, second piece of news that we had was Colin Hess coming out and saying he isn't ready for Origin, which is kind of crazy, because a lot of people have been calling him a bolter for this series. Yeah. Maybe he's sort of seen how they played in game one, but I'll wait till next year. You know, I think he'd be great off the bench for them. I'm glad they're not going to play him this year, because I think he could run through a few guys quite easily.
Have they said they're definitely not going to play him?
No. Yeah. He's just...
I think they probably will play him. I think he'll probably come into game two. I'd be surprised if he didn't. He's been sensational this year.
Yeah.
He's a try-scoring machine, especially for a forward. So, I don't see there being any reason for them not to pick him. They need to replace someone like Guerra in the on the bench, or someone like Lilyman, and he seems like a perfect replacement for that. I'm not normally a huge fan of players making their Origin debut after not playing a handful of games, but I think it's a little bit different in Queensland's case, because they're not the ones that always do it. It's always New South Wales.
Yeah.
New South Wales are doing it out of desperation. But Queensland is just, there's some players that need to move on, so why not pick a guy that's in form? I think the only other option would be someone like Ethan Lowe or Gavin Cooper were playing fantastically last year, and this year for some reason didn't even really get talked about at Origin time.
Yeah, I think Gavin Cooper definitely deserves to earn his spot back. He's just consistent and fantastic. Okay, the next one was a rumour going around that Cameron Smith apparently has a fracture in his sternum. So this one didn't have a whole lot of substance to it. It was just saying that he has an injury. Potentially it could be a little bit worse, and it's just one of those injuries that is very painful, so they need to work out how to manage it.
Yeah.
But I saw headlines saying he's out for the Origin series, which I don't think that's actually true, but I think he might be a little bit worse for wear than what the Storm are trying to let on.
Yeah, potentially. I haven't actually heard anything about this, but I don't want him to be, because I always like Queensland to have as close a full-strength team as they can. I hope he's fine. I hope he's maybe missed some Storm games. That would be nice. But in terms of Origin, I'd love to see them have the closest to a full-strength 17 as they can.
Who would you say would come in for him if he was injured for Queensland?
It's hard. McCullough on form. I mean, there's probably no better form hooker in the comp than Andrew McCullough. He's been on fire. But, Jake Friend played for Australia, so potentially if he come in, they could look at moving a player around. I don't know, playing a Morgan at hooker. But, yeah, on form, McCullough for me.
I agree 100%. I like Jake Friend as well in terms of his play style. I think he'd be really good there. But McCullough, I think he would be licking his lips at that chance.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of the natural, what's the word?
Progression?
Next person in line.
Heir
to the throne. Yeah. Because he's a bit younger than Jake Friend, I think. I might be wrong about that.
Okay.
He seems like he hasn't been around as long, but... I would have thought that he was next in line to sort of take that mantle when Smith retires, but maybe not. Look, I don't know. Maybe Jake Friend's actually younger. We don't actually look stuff up on this show.
All right, we'll move on to some re-signing news. So we had Tim Lafay re-sign with the Dragons for 3 years. Jared Hayne re-signed with the Titans for an extra year. Will Hopewade for another 3 years with the Bulldogs, and Will Chambers with the Storm for another 3 years.
Yes, and all good re-signings for their clubs, I think. Lafay has been in really good form this year. I think he's starting to recapture that form that he had a few years ago for the Bulldogs. He had a fairly lousy season last year. On his day, he can be one of the most damaging centres in the game. He's got great defence and he's very good in attack. Hayne is a great signing for the Titans. While he hasn't been in that sensational form that we knew he could sort of reach prior to leaving for the NFL, he's just a superstar player. And the Titans need marquee guys like that to bring the crowds in, bring the sponsors in. So that's a great one for him, for the Titans, sorry. Hopewade is a good one. I was mixed about this when I heard it, but look, all in all, I do think it's a good signing. He is a very solid player. I'm still not sure he's a fullback. I think he could potentially be a better centre than he is a fullback. But he still does do a very good job at fullback. And I'd like to potentially see him play there under a different coach and a different game plan, because I think that might change things up a bit. But positionally, I don't know if there's not many fullbacks in the game that are better. He's always seems to be there. It's just his attack that I think sometimes lacks a bit. And Chambers, all around good centre, so definitely good signing for the Storm.
Definitely, yeah. There's lots of talk about Chambers signing with the Roosters as well, so I'm glad the Storm were able to re-sign him. I agree definitely with what you said about Lafay as well. I think he's been one of the form centres of the comp. There's been not really many people sort of talking about him or discussing him at all, but he's back to that barnstorming best, which is great to see.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we'll move on to our final segment, a bit of Who Am I? We had Will Chambers for last week, which I think I got on number 9 from memory. So essentially, the gist of this...
I think you got him on 10.
Okay.
I think I had to give you WC as the initials.
You did.
Because I was running out of clues. Before we jump into that as well, I'll just point out that Andrew McCulloch is 5 days younger.
Oh, really?
Sorry, 5 days older.
Oh, okay. Career's actually done that.
Than Jake Friend. So yeah, obviously, he's going to retire much earlier than Friend.
All right, I'm going to try and do the intro for this properly for the first week ever. All right, so I've picked a player or a coach who has played or coached over 100 games in the NRL, and they played or coached within the past 10 years. I think that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. Yes, finally.
All right. I wasn't even listening, but yeah, sure.
Sounded good. Why not? All right. Clue number one. I started my career in 2008. I've represented New Zealand 3 times. I've played prop throughout my career.
Ooh.
I've played for 2 teams during my career and have signed on with a new club for next season.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's 4.
And lots of signings that have been happening.
Yeah.
Happenings. All right. So started my career in 2008, played 3 games for New Zealand, prop, played for new NRL teams, 3rd next year. It's hard because there's been a billion players that have played for New Zealand. There's a couple of younger guys. 2008, so he's been around for a little while. 2008, so that's 9 years. It's not, he's no spring chicken in terms of experience, I guess, unless he's played 10 games in that time. Well, he must have played at least 100.
At least 100, yeah.
No, I'm good, I'll keep going.
All right. I've played in 1 grand final, which I lost in 2011.
2011, okay. So he's played for the Warriors then. Losing. He's played for New Zealand 2008. Alrighty, I'll keep going.
All right. I didn't play rugby league in 2014.
Ooh. Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Was he on the field? He just wasn't playing very well. That you'd consider playing. All right. 2014. Okay. Okay, I'll keep going. I have someone in mind, but I'll keep going.
All right. I signed a 4-year deal with the Knights to start in 2014. However, they terminated this deal.
Okay. That one doesn't really help me because I don't know that about this player, but it doesn't mean it's not wrong. So I'll keep going.
All right, I actually switched that around on that one because I think this one might give it to you.
Okay.
In 2013, I was fined $15,000 when I was caught urinating on the field before kickoff.
That's the one.
In response to this, I tweeted, "When you gotta go, you gotta go, lol."
Which, to be honest, the guy didn't have that much of an issue with.
Neither did I.
His other indiscretion I have a little bit more of an issue with. It is obviously Russell Packer.
That is Russell Packer. Clue number 9 was, I served 1 year of my 2-year conviction in turning 14 after assaulting a 22-year-old man. And clue number 10, in 2016, the NRL approved my return to rugby league, which I did with the Dragons.
Did he stomp a guy on the head?
I believe so. I didn't want to go into detail about the injuries because it was pretty gross. But
oh, really?
Fractures and
head area. Is the guy all right?
I'm not sure. I didn't look into it that much. Okay. But I know the judge that imposed the sentence said it was a really cowardly and malicious act. So
why did he do it? Like, what happened?
I think
happened?
He was drunk or something. I'm not sure.
So was he in a fight with the guy?
No idea. I didn't, as I said, I didn't look into it in that much detail, so I don't want to say something that isn't necessarily true. Start a rumour.
He's been in pretty decent form, though, for the Dragons. So
he's one of those guys that I don't know if I feel comfortable with somewhere in the league, though.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm the same thing. I'm the same, like, when you have a criminal conviction and it's such a aggressive and malicious act like that, you struggle to comprehend how the NRL lets them back in.
Definitely. He did spend a year with the Dragons' lower grade team, and during the time showed he had rehabilitated and sort of did his time in terms of proving that he was somewhat fit for society again. So I guess in that way, he may have sort of showed he's capable of doing that, which is essentially the process that Matt Lodge is going through at the moment.
And he's a guy that I never want to see in the NRL again. I'm adamant about that. I never want to see him play. So we can't really have it both ways. We say if they have some sort of criminal past in a way, then they shouldn't be allowed. It kind of has to be black or white like that. It's always kind of weird when someone does have a criminal history and they're playing in the NRL, which has so many issues, off-field issues. It's like, why do we allow these people back into the game? Like, does the game really need it? Does it benefit by having these people in the game?
It's like, Russell Packer's been in good form, but I don't think by any means being one of the best props you could get, and sort of, you know, you wouldn't be able to replace with a younger guy, so...
Yeah, and I always figure that the game is bigger than these players, so why do it doesn't feel like we're short on players to play. You know, sometimes, look, we do see the Knights, who probably don't have 17 first-grade players in the team, but you see some teams have 25 first-grade players in their squad, so I don't think that we're short on talent, but... that's what you would imagine. Or maybe the NRL wants to be seen as a league that sort of, wants to give people second chances.
Yeah.
But that's not a great look for people that commit a crime.
Definitely. Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's interesting because I was thinking about Sui Matangi, who plays for the Eels at the moment. I think when he was playing for the Warriors, or when he was in the lower grades for the Warriors, he got into a lot of trouble and spent some time in prison.
Yeah.
And he sort of rehabilitated and came back to becoming a first grade player from there. He wasn't an already established first grade player who did something stupid and then came back and again got a second chance. Like, I think it's a bit different. Like, I guess Matt Lodge kind of fits into that role as well. So it's weird. It's obviously it's not a one decision fits all type thing. It depends on the crime they've done.
Yeah.
It
obviously matters. Yeah. It obviously matters. Like, obviously someone, a smaller crime isn't as bad as someone, chasing people around New York City and threatening to murder them and trashing their family and beating them. Trashing their house and beating them up. That's fairly severe.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, all right. So that's the episode done for this week. Episode 14 in the bag. We will be back next week for episode 15. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
You've just listened to the Golden Point. Well done.